not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Thou my wisdom and thou my true word, I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father and I thy true Son, thou in me dwelling and I
now turn to the Word of God as we find it in Psalm 129. They have treated me badly all my life. Let Israel repeat this. They have treated me badly all my life, but they have not defeated me Like farmers ploughing, they ploughed over my back, making long wounds. But the Lord does what is right. He has set me free from those wicked people. Let those who hate Jerusalem be turned back in shame. Let them be like grass on the roof that dries up before it has grown. There is not enough of it to fill a hand, or to make it into a bundle to fill one's arms. Let those who pass by them not say, "May the Lord bless you. We bless you by the power of the Lord." Amen. And thanks be to God for that reading. I wonder how many of us this morning continue to do the hobby that you started out doing when you were a child. As a child, I started to learn the violin in primary four. Now, my parents had great, great relief when, after about 4 months, I said, "I can't do this anymore." At which point they said, "Absolutely not a problem," because clearly the pain for them was just as much as it was for me. But as a primary one, I started going along to Beavers, and I continued throughout all of that, all the way up until, at the time, it was Venture Scouts, and then I went on to become an assistant leader in the Cubs. So the scouting movement lasted longer in me as a hobby and as an interest than the violin ever did. But growing up and having hobbies, whether it could be a collection, whether it's a sport, these things require stick-to-itiveness. You need to stick to it, stickability. Whether it's like Velcro that holds us together, we need something to hold us to that thing. Even when there is pressure, even when there is tension and there are things that want to draw us in another direction, we still need to stick at it. And it's the same with friendships. It's the same with relationships. Things can go through, or we can go through times and things can become difficult, whether it's with a friend, whether it's with a relationship professionally or socially, however it is, things can happen that cause tension. How's it been during lockdown? How has it been to maintain friendship? And how has it been that we have been able to maintain that friendship in ways that we couldn't do it before? We've had to change. We've had to adapt. How we do church, how we meet together as a church has changed. How you do church has changed. How we do church up here in Largs has changed. Across the country, how we do church has changed. It would have been really easy, the same way as I gave up the violin, for us to just go, "Do you know what? This is all different. Given up. I've had enough." But you see, there's a word that is used for us to stick at things. So for me, being a Beaver right through to Venture Scout, I had perseverance. Even though there were other tensions and draws in my time, I persevered. Even when it seemed impossible that I was going to be successful at getting the Chief Scout Award or the Queen Scout Award, whatever it happened to be, perseverance was required to stick at it in the face of adversity. And as a church, well, what we're facing just now is no different. In the reading that we heard this morning, Israel required that same level of perseverance. "They've kept me around ever since I was young." You see, that's how Israel is telling it. "They've kept us around since I was young, but they could never keep me down." There's a song, "I got knocked down, but I got up again. They're never going to keep me down." And that there, I suppose, is a wee bit like what happened to Israel. The people of God, you see, they're tough folk. They're resilient. They persevere. For long centuries, those who belonged waged against the things of the earth and fought for what was right. They had a faith. They worked hard to win. They tried. But you know what? It didn't seem to be working for them. They tried and something else knocked them back down again. They were ridiculed. They were maybe tortured. They went out in exile. But the way of faith, their faith, allowed them to continue healthily and to be robust. They've kicked me down ever since I was young, but they never kept me down. They got knocked down, but they got back up again. What kept them going? What was it that sustained them? And what is sustaining us just now? You see, a lot of folks through lockdown are saying, do you know what? It's just this perseverance that I've got. I'm persevering. I'm just going to keep on going. But why? Why is it? What has sustained them? If you think about the hobbies that you've got, in a previous placement, somebody says, oh, we'll get you learning how to knit yet. Well, I tried. But because I didn't have that perseverance to sit down and really try and work out how that over-under loopy thing with two sets of needles worked, I didn't have the perseverance. Did I have the interest? Yes, because it would have provided good conversation, but I'm a bloke. I can't have the conversation and the learning and the perseverance. Goodness me, no. But what has kept me going through lockdown and continuing to do things like this through Zoom, continuing to minister to people, and what we are all called to do is that perseverance. But what gives us this? We all need perseverance, but in this context, it is God who is giving us the sustaining. It was God and their faith in God that allowed them to keep bouncing back, because God kept doing things for Israel. They kept getting back up every time something happened that knocked them down. Whether it was persecution, whether it was ridicule, torture and exile, they kept bouncing back. We have God leading. We have God guiding all of us. We don't do all of this alone. And in the New Testament, we can look at Paul. Paul, you see, he was another one that didn't let persecution get him down. In one passage in 2 Corinthians, he looks back, and this is how it's summarized. I have been beaten many times without number. I have faced death again and again. I've been beaten by the regulation, 39 stripes by the Jews 5 times. I've been beaten with rods 3 times. I've been stoned once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times. I have been 24 hours in the open sea. In my travels, I have been in constant danger from rivers, from bandits, from my own countrymen and from pagans. I have faced danger in the city streets, danger in the desert, danger in the high seas, danger amongst those who profess to be Christians. Those false Christians were just as dangerous. I have known drudgery, exhaustion, many sleepless nights, hunger, thirst, fasting, cold, exposure. Apart from all external trials, I have the daily burden of responsibility for my church. Do you think anyone is weak without feeling his weakness? Do you think anyone is weak without my feeling his weakness? Does anyone have his faith upset without my burning with indignation? In our modern faith, we can also think that looking back to the plight of Israel, spending 40 years in wilderness, as being something of an insignificance to us. But if we apply what happened then and the poetic words of Psalm 129, have a think in our modern society now. Where around all of us can you observe perseverance? Who is persevering right now that you know of, in the face of adversity, in the face of persecution? Who is persevering when there seems to be no hope. And when you can think of that, what is it those who are persevering in that stage are needing right now? How can we help and sustain those who are suffering for their faith right now? So just taking a moment just now to reflect on where around us can we observe those who are suffering and persevering? And right now, what is it those who are persevering, what is it they need? Because after all those centuries, we're not that much different. We still need those who are around about us to help sustain us. We need each other. We need to be patient with each other because everyone hurts in different ways. And you see, interestingly, one of the most beautiful lines in that psalm reminds us that we are not perfect pilgrims. That there was written by people who were human like the rest of us. The psalms, they aren't written by perfect pilgrims at all. The pilgrims way back then made mistakes just the same as you and I will make mistakes just now. We will make our mistakes, but we need to try and learn from them and sustain other people in their perseverance as they will try and sustain us and help us to get through. Lots of people will mistake perseverance with the word perfection. Don't. Because we're not perfect. Just because we're persevering on the journey, just because we keep going doesn't mean that we don't have the furrows in our back because we've been beaten down. It means that we get back up again and we can continue going. It means we keep going. We're not quitting when things are getting hard. Well, there's still a long journey before us. And I picked this graphic because those long furrows don't stop halfway across the field when everything was sorted. They continue as far as the eye can see. And that's the same as us in our faith. The pilgrims of old knew that they may never see the promised land, but they persevered for the people that were coming behind. How are we persevering for those of our children's children's children? Are we leaving a church that is there for them to worship God and to come before God? You see, this psalm reminds us of something else that is even more important. Because there's a cornerstone sentence in Psalm 129. God wouldn't put up with it. He sticks with us. God sticks with us. He has a faithfulness that will outsee all of our lifetime. Many of the pilgrims who we read about in the Psalms and in the Old Testament never saw the promised land, but they persevered for those that came after them. When the Bible says that God sticks with us, the emphasis is on his dependable personal relationship, that he's always there for us. The phrase doesn't mean that he corresponds to the same abstract ideal of what is right. It speaks of a personal right relationship between the Creator and creation. Righteous is a common translation for the Hebrew term. Righteous out and out, a term denoting a relationship. How is our relationship? Can we say that we are sticking with God the way he sticks with us? Are we on a journey alongside God? Are we persevering on this journey, trusting that he has it in our hands? In all phases of adversity, are we persevering? Because it's not for us that we do this. It's for a relationship with him so that we can sense that that relationship sustains us as individuals, but sustains those who follow in our faith behind us. We go on a journey together. Whatever our journey might look like as we go forward, it will vary But we need to be open to that. As the Israelites went on a journey, some of them were desperate to go back to where they had food and they had water and they just wanted that comfortable lifestyle. Others of them wanted to fast forward to the future, into the time, to the promised land, but they were caught in this middle transition period. Where are we sitting? Do we want and long for the things of the past, or do we long for the things of the future? Or are we sitting in this middle period wanting to do what we're called to do in this period of transition? Whatever, it is a personal relationship that we are called to have with our Lord and Saviour. And it's about our place and our part that we play on our journey. Last night in Cafe Church, somebody described it beautifully as, do we play our part in the bigger jigsaw puzzle? And they imagined it as, you know, those spherical jigsaws that you get, the 3D things. They're really challenging to do. I've never tried a normal jigsaw, never mind one that goes together all over. But they had suggested that it's like a globe. You put one piece in here, but you don't see what's happening on the other side. We need to trust that what we're doing for God is we are playing our own part in the bigger picture for Him. And that we persevere irrespective of what's happening in other places, and that we sustain each other and uphold one another in prayer and help each other as we persevere. We're going to listen to a song just now. And the song was actually written for a church, a local church in Dumfries, that was being prepared to open a new building. And the reason that I've picked this was the song talks about a journey. And it is a metaphoric journey, not just a journey that you go on. And I want you to listen to the words and see how we can reflect on that. And then we will go into a time of prayer. But let's be still just now and reflect on what God has said to each of us in this morning's time together.
Traveling through, let us persevere and run the race, set our course to follow you. We will fix our eyes on Jesus Christ along the pilgrim way. He will complete in us work that He's began. He's the champion of our faith. You have called us on a journey. Led us to this place, that we know this journey must go on till we see you face to face. We have come to Christ, the cornerstone, to bring our sacrifice. He will build His church with living stones who will offer up their lives. Call us out of darkness into your wonderful light. We declare your praise, we lift up your name, let your glory fill the skies. You have called us on a journey and led us to this place, that we know this journey must go on till we see you face to face. This world is not our home, we're only traveling through. Let us persevere and run the race, set our course to follow you. We will fix our eyes on Jesus Christ along the pilgrim way. He will complete in us work that He began. He's the champion of our faith. You have called us on a journey and led us to this place. Yet we know this journey must go on till we see you face to face. have come to Christ the cornerstone. To bring our sacrifice, He will build His church with living stones who will offer up their lives. You have called us out of darkness into Your wonderful light. We declare Your praise, we lift up Your name, let Your glory fill the skies. You have called us on a journey and led us to this place. Yet we know this journey must go on till we see You face to face. Yes, You've called us on a journey and led us to this place. Yet we know this journey must go on till we see You face to face. Oh, we'll see.